The oil may no longer be flowing out of that BP well in the Gulf, but the economic ripples are still being felt, and they will be for the foreseeable future in places you might not immediately suspect. You might not have thought about the company that makes the burlap sacks for oysters, or the Minnesota businessmen who rely on crushed oyster shells to be used as poultry feed. We're joined now by Dan Barry, who is a columnist for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I hope you're well, too. You report that people and businesses are going to be affected in ways we may not think about. You talk about the ripple, the domino effect, whatever you want to call it. Tell us, were you surprised at some of the ways this is affecting the economy?
I was. We had heard a lot about oysters and oystermen, and I was wondering about all the ancillary businesses that might take the economic ripples away from the waters, as it were, and to see how far deep into the country it went. And so I initially just wanted to follow an oyster, and it wound up working in reverse to the burlap sacks, which are these very prosaic little pieces of the business, to try and figure out where they led. And it led eventually to a very hot warehouse in Waveland, Mississippi, where one man provides burlap sacks for much of the oyster operations in the Gulf,
Coast. Yeah, tell us about his business and how he's pretty much out of business at this point, right?
Yes, he has great fears that he's not going to be able to start the business up again. But he used to be an oysterman, and about 25 years ago, he found that he couldn't find enough of these burlap sacks to support his business. And they've been used for generations as the most obvious means to haul the oysters into shore. And he got an idea from a friend of where some coffee importers were bringing in burlap sacks, and he essentially ended his oyster business and began providing burlap sacks to the oyster operations around the Gulf Coast, initially working out of his driveway and then building up the business. And then he had a hiccup after Hurricane Katrina. He was out of business for a few months, built it up again, built this warehouse himself, and was doing all right up until, you know, the end of April.
And then he had to lay everybody off, huh?
Yeah, it was a little slow. You know, they get these burlap sacks from all over the world. Coffee roasters and importers around the country, you know, dump their coffee beans, and then they don't really have a use for these sacks. And he figured out, I don't think he'd be the first one, but he figured out a way to, you know, recycle them effectively so that they'd be used as sacks, and so to haul oysters. And once there was no more demand, people weren't oystering as much because so many of the oyster beds were being shut down, oftentimes as a precaution, sometimes because there was oil in the water. It immediately came back to him, and there was no demand for his bags.
All right, well, let's go from Waveland, Mississippi, to up to Minnesota. The warehouse shell sales, say that six times fast, how are they being affected?
Well, they have 1,500 tons of oyster shells barged up the Mississippi. It takes about 30 days to go from New Orleans up to St. Paul, and they use it to they crush the shells. They're fed to chickens. The chickens draw on the calcium, and it hardens their eggshells. They're also, interestingly enough, used for bocce courts. They're great for bocce court beds.
Who knew?
When there's not enough shells, they have to look elsewhere. So they'll look to the Pacific Northwest,
right,
or to the east, and not so much to the Gulf.
Dan Barry, we got to go. Thank you.